everybody. Grant here, back with the No Formula Podcast. So today episode, we're going to talk about the State of the Union with President Trump that he gave last night. I wasn't able to watch it live, but I did listen to it and then went back and kind of went back through it again, just in case I missed some things. But this is going to be my initial reaction to what I thought about it. And so basically, overall, I thought the speech was really, really well structured. I think it was easy to just kind of get on board with. You know, unlike the Democrats, they're in that. But Trump, as we know, some of his speeches never really, stick together. He kind of gets all over the place and, can be hard to listen to. But this one was really, really, really good. It was good Trump. Stuff that we wanted to hear, that we like to hear, all came to fruition during this speech. Pretty much he started out giving his pitch on, you know, keeping America great, basically alluding to another four more years under his administration. And he just talked about State of the Union being stronger than ever. And then he kind of, that's when he split off, you know, into segments. Talked about the economy, how great the economy is right now, which is awesome. Trade agreements that we have, as well as tax cuts that he proposed. And everything that he said was really good, and the guests he had were awesome. I have a list of who they are, as well as I'm gonna give like a background on them. So Stephanie and Janiyah Davis from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, says here on the whitehouse.gov website that Janiyah is a fourth grade student in Philadelphia, loves art and math, but she's been assigned to not real good schools. So her mom's been trying to, single mother by the way, mom's been trying to apply for a tax credit scholarship, but Pennsylvania's governor vetoed a school choice legislation, which pretty much stuck Janiyah into a wait list. So she was stuck at that at school. And during the State of the Union, Trump gave her a scholarship to attend a school at her choice, which is awesome. There was also Juan Guaido from Venezuela, the interim president of Venezuela, that has been hijacked by Nicolas Maduro, I believe it is. So Trump had him on to recognize him as a president, and pretty much saying that Maduro was, you know, illegitimate and whatever. United States is also the first country to recognize Guaido as the Venezuelan president. Next, we have Kelly and Gage, I think it's Hake, from Oklahoma. So I believe it was Kelly's husband, Gage's father, was killed in action when their convoy was hit by a bomb that was actually supplied by Qasem Soleimani, the terrorist piece of shit that, you know, Trump authorized a strike for, that we killed. And, you know, everybody on Twitter was like, oh, World War III and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, next is Jody Jones from California. His brother, Rocky Jones, was killed by an illegal immigrant that actually went on a rampage of just straight brutal violence. And but now Rocky is fighting for the sanctuary state city crap, fighting for that to be done. sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, not good. It's pretty much catch and release. They catch a bad guy, illegal immigrant. Oh, he's illegal, so they dump him back into the street. The next guest we had is Ian Lanfer. Ian. He's a great-grandson of a Tuskegee Airman, Charles McGee, who's also a guest as well, pretty much. But Ian wants to join the Air Force Academy, and as well as to get into aerospace education, and also join the Space Force, which is the new branch of military that Trump has enacted. The next guest is Rush Limbaugh. If you don't know who Rush Limbaugh is, you probably live under a fucking rock. Anyways, if you don't know, he's a conservative radio host. He pretty much laid the foundation for conservative radio voices, or however they distribute their voice out. He was the foundation of that. And he also was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. If you didn't know, Rush Limbaugh was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, I believe. So we're all hoping and praying that Rush can fight through that. Next guest I had on here was General Charles McGee, which was, I believe that was Ian's great-grandfather. But he was a Tuskegee Airman. Actually, he's 100 years old, just turned 100, I believe. He is a general, and was just being recognized for his heroism and his duty fighting for this country. Next, we have Paul Murrow from Montgomery, Alabama. He's a United States Army veteran. He started a contracting business and is building a new concrete plant in an opportunity zone in Montgomery. I believe the opportunity zones are areas that help low-income areas or inner-city areas that just don't have a lot of help. And these opportunity zones, people can fund money, you know, get the money flowing through these areas to help lift that zone back up. Next is Colin Marsha Mueller from Prescott, Arizona. Their daughter, Kayla, was a humanitarian aid worker who was actually kidnapped by ISIS. And she was actually tortured and killed by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who's a leader of the ISIS terrorist group. Which, October 26, 2019, Trump administration ordered a strike by special forces that killed al-Baghdadi, which is good. He's a piece of shit. Next is Deputy Chief Raul Ortiz from Del Rio, Texas. He is a Border Patrol agent, as well as a U.S. Army veteran. He just recently became Chief Patrol Agent of the Del Rio Sector, which pretty much controls like 41 Texas counties, it says here, including 210 miles of border between the United States and Mexico. And he was just promoted to that position. And next we have Tony Rankins from Cincinnati, Ohio. Tony was a U.S. Army veteran that, after getting out, he suffered from PTSD and was addicted to drugs. Lost his job, family, served several prison sentences and ended up living out of his car. And a company helped Tony train in different trades. And now he works in an opportunity zone in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he's since then been reunited with his family and has overcome his drug addiction. Next we have Robin and Ellie Schneider from Kansas City, Missouri. Ellie was born at 21 weeks, 6 days. One of the youngest babies to survive in the United States, being born that early. So that just goes to show that, you know, a life is a life, and it's only fair that we let them fight for that. couple more. Oh, and at the end, they had the Williams family from Fort Bragg. Amy Williams is a military spouse. Her husband, the kid's father, he's been deployed a lot, 4 times. Just actually went on his 4th deployment. And Trump actually got Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams to the State of the Union address as a surprise for this family, which is completely awesome. You know, tearjerker and all that. Great stuff. So those were the guests, most of them anyways. And basically, I feel like, man, listen to this speech, it made me want to get on the back of a bald eagle and drop bombs from this bald eagle's butt over ISIS and shotgun a natty light while singing, I don't know, America songs with Uncle Sam while shooting fireworks out my butthole or something. I don't know. That was the most patriotic speeches I've heard in a long time. But now we're going to get to Nancy Pelosi, leader of the Dems, you know, the, you know, high and mighty, I'm going to play the high card, blah, 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 bullshit, whatever. So Nancy, it blew my mind at some of the things that she didn't stand and clap for. She probably wasn't even paying attention, because you can see in the video of the State of the Union, of her just playing on her phone, pretty sure she was talking to herself, not really paying attention. But, I mean, it was obvious things that Democratic or Republican, whatever you are, you know, something that anybody and everybody should stand and clap for. Low unemployment, you know, women in the workplace, that's on the rise, higher wages for women, you know, things along that line, to where she didn't even stand and clap, which just blows my mind. Or even talking about taking out Soleimani, not a thing. I don't think the group of Democrats, hashtag Dems in white, I don't even think they clapped or whatever. Oh, and that, not only to add to that, you know, at the end, Trump, you know, turned around and gave a copy of the speech to Mike Pence, Vice President, and Nancy Pelosi, and she went to shake his hand, and either he didn't see or didn't want to shake her hand, which I don't blame him for. She started ripping up the manuscript of the State of the Union address, which is the most childish thing I've seen. Especially when they talk about wanting to take the high ground and be the better person, you know, all that bullshit. But not to mention, if we're talking about the Dems, AOC wasn't there. Good. she's probably at home, you know, doing her little Rachel Ray cook show on Instagram while just blabbing her fat mouth about whatever the hell she wants to talk about. I don't even think she knows what she's talking about half the damn time anyways. So that's AOC. And then Rashida Tlaib walked out after Trump talked about, you know, swearing in Brett Kavanaugh as a judge. Apparently, according to Rashida Tlaib, that was a trigger for her because, if you don't know about the Brett Kavanaugh story, he was being sworn in as judge, blah, blah. Dems didn't want him to because I think it's Christine Blasey Ford accused him of rape back in like the 80s or 70s, something like that, back in college. No evidence, no corroborating evidence, nothing. It was dropped. But of course, 2020, 2019, you have, all women are right, you have to listen to women no matter what, even if there's no evidence to prove anything. So that was Rashida Tlaib there. That was mostly it for that side of it. But I also wanted to jump back to what Trump said at one point. he was talking about ISIS and, you know, just demolishing ISIS as a whole. And he said, I may be wrong on this, but from what I remember, one of the quotes he said was, if you attack our citizens, you forfeit your life. Boy, at that moment, I got some damn chills. Absolute chills. If that doesn't make you want to run outside with an American flag as a damn cape and just fly around and beat the shit out of Nazis and ISIS members and shotgun tube Bud Lights while you're staring in the eyes of Stone Cold Steve Austin, I don't know what else will. I really don't. If you didn't feel a certain type of way at that moment, you're not American. Not American. Simple. Simple as that. But overall, speech was great. I loved it from top to bottom. The structure of it went from talking about what he's done to slowly towards the end kind of transition to just really subtle jabs at the Dems, you know, kind of left, right. And, you know, after a while, those jabs, they may not seem like much, but after a while, they start hitting like haymakers. I'm telling you that. But I enjoyed it. Great stuff. Man, if Trump would just stay this way all the way to November, he's unstoppable. Not a single candidate could come close to beating him come November. Bernie, Joe, Warren, all of them, not even close. Personally, I think the closest candidate they had that could have beat him is Tulsi Gabbard, but the DNC wanted to snub her like they snubbed Bernie in 2016. But all right, those are my thoughts, my opinions, kind of the shakedown rundown of the State of the Union address. Feel free to send me your thoughts and opinions. You can follow on Twitter at NoFormulaPod, and also I have a Facebook page, No Formula Podcast. If you can't find it, shoot me a message on Facebook or Twitter, Grant Holt, if you know who I am. But yeah, peace out. Thanks, guys.